It's Friday, November 30th, 2012, and welcome to episode 141 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
This time, we have a good show for you. We're coming fresh off the Thanksgiving holiday, so I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving and didn't eat too much turkey.
Just enough.
We had a lot of conversations around our house. Being the tech guy, I kind of get a lot of those questions and things over the Thanksgiving holidays. And one of the questions that just kept coming up over and over and over again was, what kind of tablet should I get?
That's on everybody's list this Christmas. And you get to be the go-to guy.
Yeah, and there, you know, unfortunately, there's not one answer for everybody. So Cindy and I will take just a few minutes and just kind of toss around some of the different things that we've been talking about. And there's a lot of choices out there, and choice is good. There's a lot of competition going on in the tablet space right now. And the good news for consumers, the prices are coming down as well.
There's a nice range. You can go pretty low to as high as you want.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then this time we've got a little bit higher techie type pick. And then also, I think, Cindy, you're going to do another cloud service this time.
I
think many teachers will really like yours this time.
I hope so. It definitely caught my eye.
So here we go. Starting off today, I would like to take just a few minutes and talk about what we're going to call this episode, which is the tablets are coming. The tablets are coming. Coming off Thanksgiving break, I'm sure you probably had some questions and things and conversations over the dinner table.
Oh, absolutely.
Being the tech guy in the household, you know, you're constantly being asked for advice for various different things. So right now, the hottest thing in tech right now is the tablet computing. And you're just seeing advertisements everywhere for any kind of tablet. So I found a good article out there researching some show notes for today, and just thought I'd just take a few minutes and just kind of overview some of the options and some of the things I hear from my friends and family about where we're at. So I'll post a link to that article out in the show notes. And, you know, one of the things we're starting to see our students, you know, it's more and more common for them to come in with a tablet. And one of the reasons is they're becoming extremely affordable now.
Right, which is very nice.
We'll talk about various ecosystems here, but on the Amazon side of things, the Kindle.
Right.
They've had for a number of years now the e-readers, and now they're, you know,
they have evolved.
Evolved out last year with some of the 7-inch tablets, and now they have the Kindle HD. And for around $199.
Still a very good price.
So very good price point. Nice form factor. Fits in one hand. And for theirs, for ebooks, you know, it's a very nice size, nice form factor for them. And I've seen several students have Kindles.
I have too. And it's interesting because a lot of them were using the Kindle to read, but then using their laptops for other things. And they've slowly transitioned and are doing mm-hmm. more and more with those tablets.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing fewer and fewer laptops
out. And over the holiday weekend, going shopping and things, mm-hmm. if you go into, you know, the big box stores and things, you are seeing those, you know, the desktops for sure, and laptops gradually give way and more. I mean, you're starting to see large displays for the tablets.
And all ages. It's
yes.
something that's really interesting because mm-hmm. if you notice on the advertisements too, the commercials, they're showing young children,
preschoolers,
and all the, right, and all the way, you know, up to, in fact, you know, something we've been considering for my parents is getting one because mm-hmm. it's just easier than pulling out the laptop, starting
right.
it up, and all of that. And so, you know, I mean, this is something that's appealing to all generations.
Yes, it is. Yes. And then in addition to the Kindles, also Barnes & Noble has a similar device called the Nook.
Yep.
So, and I know that you have the Nook app for your iPad.
I do. But that one too. It's not like you can just go shopping because I'm looking for them. there's not just one Nook, not just one Kindle anymore. Right. And so that's where it is confusing.
Oh, it's extremely confusing. As a consumer, you know, I follow this fairly closely and I'm confused. So, I mean, I can just imagine what the average consumer is out there thinking with all the choices. You know, choices is a good thing and a bad thing.
Absolutely.
But you know, the good news is on the choices, you can kind of custom your, you know, whatever you're trying to purchase. You can find a device hopefully similar to your needs.
Right. And you don't have to pay high end for things that you're not actually going to use.
Right.
So that's really nice too.
And also for families and things with the affordability factor, I don't know how it is around your house, but if you have multiple children in your family, it's mm-hmm. like if you buy this for, you know, child A, you have to buy this for child B and make, you know, keep everything even.
Right. I know all of my nieces and nephews and each have their own. You know, mm-hmm. I saw the commercial for the family share and it was mm-hmm. like, that'd be great, but.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one there. It's like, okay, here's a hint for mom and dad. So mm-hmm. we each need to have a tablet out there. Yeah, but as a parent, I can tell you that gets expensive very quickly. So if you're talking about a $500 device, that hits the pocketbook really hard. And if you can buy two or three for the same money, you know, parents are going to gravitate to that. So then, you know, of course, the iPad, which is kind of the one that started all of this, they have the new iPad mini we talked a little bit about last month. And that's a very nice form factor. I think they're selling that was $329. Is that what they were selling for? And then the next step up is their 10-inch iPad, which is $499 now. And then last month we talked a little bit about the Windows 8 tablets and things coming out. But those also started out the Microsoft Surface started out at $499. So again, $500 price point. You know, you're getting up there.
Right. That it doesn't shock us to see that price
point.
Right.
I mean, everybody has their own, you know, price entry point, what they're going to consider and things. But the good news is all this competition definitely is driving the prices down and the features are going up because each one's competing for our dollars.
Right. And that's something I've noticed with the readers, that the readers are becoming more iPad-ish.
Multifunction.
Right. And more for productivity, not mm-hmm. just for reading. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's really nice to have that all packaged in this one little piece of equipment.
Right.
That's really, I mean, because they're stepping up their audio mm-hmm. and the HD mm-hmm. and things like that, mm-hmm. as opposed to just the backlight.
Right. Right. Just, instead of just an e-reader.
Right. That in the beginning were the selling points.
Right. But they're, you know, the e-readers still are selling very, very well.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the difference between indoor use and outdoor use, that's kind of what started all the e-ink technology.
Right.
So you go out on the beach and read, but it's difficult to do that on an iPad with a backlit screen. So again, that would be a choice. If you're out on the beach all the time, you might want to consider an e-reader,
I guess. That's true.
So it depends upon your needs.
Or a cabana.
Yeah. On the Windows 8 side of things, they are still coming out with new models. And it's, again, it's a bit confusing for consumers because they just came out with the Surface RT, which that is based on the ARM processor. And what that means is you cannot run your regular Windows applications like you're used to running.
Right.
We talked a little bit last time about that.
We did.
And then they are coming out with the regular Windows or Windows Pro systems. And then also just now coming to market, there's kind of a third flavor out there that are going to be using the Atom processors from Intel, which is kind of what the netbooks run on, the Intel Atom processors. And we're starting to see some digitizers built in, which is really exciting to me as an educator because I'm still waiting for that perfect teaching device. And we're getting closer. We're not there yet, but each step is getting a little bit closer. But I would love to have a device, a tablet, affordable price range, say $500 or whatever, mm-hmm. that you would be able to take a stylus and like the old tablet PCs and have that pin control.
Right.
So essentially your tablet becomes your smart board and things.
That is nice.
And then right before we were coming over to record, I noticed you were marking on some papers and things. So just being able to go out there and write a little note on a student's paper, you know,
sure,
by hand and annotate all of that, and
change
it into a PDF or whatever.
Yeah. Use the old proofing tools that mm-hmm. we've always used, mm-hmm. but to be able to go in there and make those notes mm-hmm. and then let the students.
And on the Microsoft Office side of things, Microsoft has a program called OneNote, which is an incredible note-taking tool, which I think is, you know, very underutilized. And especially if you have a tablet with inking capabilities, it's an extremely versatile program. So whenever I choose my tablet, I'm kind of holding out for one of those that's going to have a digitizer and a stylus. It's going to cost a little bit more to go that route, but I do want to have that versatility. And then on the Android side of things, I did purchase the Nexus 7, and I'm just kind of falling in love with this form factor because it fits very easily in my hand, in one hand. And I find it's there. It's there for me. Got it set up for emails and things. It's got the voice capabilities.
Right.
So just like your Droid phone, you can, any text field, you click the little microphone and start talking, and it'll convert your text or your speech to text.
Yeah, the portability of that size is awesome because even though the iPad isn't big, it's still, you know, you have to make it fit in some things. And as a female, just to put in my purse or something like that, where the smaller, it would be really nice to have something like that you just toss in, especially when I travel and things like that. So, yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm checking. I haven't even had the opportunity to hold an iPad mini. Does it feel pretty much like the rest of them?
Yeah, they do have them in stock in some of the big box stores. It's a little bit wider than my Nexus 7, so I have fairly large hands, and it's not as easy to grasp, I find, as my Nexus 7. But I got used to my Nexus 7 before the iPad Mini came out, so you kind of get used to what you've been using for a while. But the Nexus 7 size, it's also a 16x9 form factor, so it's a little bit more of a rectangle shape than the iPad's a little bit more of a square shape. But for my size of hand, the Nexus 7 is just about the perfect device for a one-handed device. If I like the iPad Mini, if you go 8.9-inch device, it's just a little bit big for my hand to comfortably hold for a long period of time. I have no trouble holding this up for an hour.
And to be able to grip it.
And what, you know, one of the things that this thing comes in handy, like, I do a lot of tours and things for the ITC, explaining to various students coming in and parents saying, you know, telling things. I can take my Nexus 7 and show them our YouTube channel, and we can just be talking, have a conversation. Oh, let's go out here, go to the website, and everything's just all, you know, easy to show right there.
Because as a teacher, you're moving around the room constantly.
Right.
And so you want something that you can hang on to. And you know, my iPad's gone sailing a couple of times, but luckily it survived it. But it's nice to have something, you know, you have a good grip on while you're working.
Yeah. And that's, you know, another factor in deciding on what type of tablets and things, because you think you buy the tablet and you're done with your purchases. And it's like, no. You're just starting, because then you're going to, obviously, find a case to protect it. And then some people go, well, I need a Bluetooth keyboard or something.
Right.
And then we're back to the laptop pricing territory that we've talked about before.
And if you get a docking station for speakers and all of that.
And then you start down the App Store route, and, you know, there goes the money.
Yeah, it definitely adds up quickly.
So those are all factors to consider. I guess the other thing, the expandable storage is still huge to me. I would love having a USB port, and I have that on my Android e-transformer. I use it all the time. SD cards are wonderful. You know, keep in mind that if you're using, you know, some of these devices are Wi-Fi only, the data carriers would love to sell you a 2-year contract and have a 3G or 4G connection. And, you know, many people do that. But again, that's a monthly contract somebody's paying for. But if you can offload some of that content to either an SD card or a USB and make that, you know, transport that, make it a little bit more portable, I know it certainly saved me a lot of time, because you can copy a file much quicker than you can download something.
Oh, heck yeah.
So if you've got something and you're, you know, that's the other thing that we're really struggling with now, is we're going from, you know, we talk about one-to-one programs, but really we're talking about multiple devices per person.
Right.
And we had this conversation last time. It's like, we're still sorting all this out, and I don't know what, you know, is a 7-inch tablet, is that the perfect form factor? Well, it depends on you. You know, maybe you need that 10-inch or 11-inch or 12-inch device.
And that's sort of the appeal of these devices, because you can personalize them so much. Mm-hmm. And so it's very cool, because you can make it what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got a question for you. Do the Nook or any of them have SD slots?
I believe so. I'm not sure that the Kindle HD currently does, but I think the Nook, the original Nook, I know did, but I'm not sure about some of the later ones. I know on the Windows 8 side of things, the Surface has have both a SD card and a USB.
The USB.
Mm-hmm. And on the Surface Pro from Microsoft, which is, in fact, today, we're recording this Thursday, but we're going to air this tomorrow. But just coming out today, just right before the show, I saw a news item that they did release the pricing on Microsoft's new tablet, the Core i5, which is the fast processor one, for $899.
Wow.
So it's essentially a PC replacement. It's the one with the touch cover.
Oh, right.
It's like the Surface RT, except it's its big brother.
Yeah.
So it's,
that's
it's
a good way to describe it.
And it's going to, you know, it's going to depend. Obviously, I do a lot of computer processing, so a fast processor means a lot to me. I can, you know, I can do more things quicker, you know, video editing or whatever. I would never want to do that on, a smaller processor or a slower processor. But also with a Surface Pro, you get a USB 3.0 port, and I believe it has an SD card. But the cost is nearly double what the Surface RT tablet is.
And so is that worth that to you?
It's trade-offs again.
Absolutely.
So, you know, then you start thinking, it's like, well, I can buy like a MacBook Air or an Ultrabook for $1,000. Mm-hmm. Or I can buy five Nexus 7s.
Right.
And if you're an educator, that should give you a little bit of pause, because it's like thinking, wow, you know, I can have one laptop, or I can have five devices for students for that same $1,000.
I don't think a tablet will ever be my only device, because there are too many things with productivity, especially when I'm working with spreadsheets and even PowerPoint presentations sometimes, or large Word documents, that on a tablet or even on the small laptop, mm-hmm. it just isn't enough of a visual. But now I guess you can always plug it into a monitor or into a TV and work on it from that. So I guess, you know, it's just our behaviors and what we learn and what we get used to doing. And
in a way, again, we're going back to the future, because you mentioned a docking station.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be a logical solution for somebody that wants to do that.
You know,
if I have my tablet and come in here and click it in, I've got a full-size keyboard, I've got an HDMI monitor, or for that matter, an HDTV in the classroom, and then, you know, it's just a computing device at that point. So lots of choices. This article is a good one. It talks about several of the different ecosystems and things, but this is definitely a moving target. Things are literally changing so quick from week to week. Between now and Christmas and going into January with some of the new processors and things coming out, you're just going to see a continual evolution of all the different ones. And then kind of looking forward to maybe some of those after Christmas sales too, because they'll have probably some blowout prices on some of those. I know they did for Black Friday on some of the laptops. I was just amazed, you know, $300-$400, some of the laptop choices that you had out there.
That's kind of one of the nice things about they're coming out with new versions so quickly.
That's good and bad.
It's bad in a way, but it's good, because then that last version is often marked down in price. Mm-hmm. And so if you're okay with that, mm-hmm. then that's definitely a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it much more affordable, and, you know, it's just what you're comfortable with and what you want it to do.
My technology pick of the week this week relates to my Nexus 7 and a new operating system upgrade. Jelly Bean recently pushed out a new update, version 4.2, and that was available last week on my Nexus 7, so I went ahead and upgraded it. And one of the nice things, whenever you open it up, got a new clock.
Oh, nice.
So it also gives you a choice. You can choose world clock, and if you want to put like your local, so I put Chicago, Illinois here. And then I put London, United Kingdom. So as we record this, it's 3:16 in Chicago, and it's 9:16 p.m. in London. So I always know what time it is in London I open up my Nexus. I have a lot of friends on Twitter out in London, so it's kind of neat just to keep track of.
Who's going to respond and who's
not. Asleep. So I've got a little pin code on here, and one of the things I'm finding I'm using more and more, especially with this update, is the Google Voice, voice search. So let me just go out here, and let me just click and just ask this a question here, and I'll hold this up to the mic, and hopefully everybody will be able to hear this. What is the forecast for tomorrow?
forecast for Charleston is 59 degrees and mostly sunny.
Very nice.
There we go. So that's kind of nice just to be able to go out there. And if you have an Android phone, you're probably used to the little microphone thing. So there. So again, on a 7-inch device, this is a very nice size for reading email, just consuming the email and things. And a little bit too tiny for, you know, it's one of those on-screen. I really dislike on-screen keyboards. And especially on a small device. So I just click the little microphone and talk, and it will convert my speech into text. And does a decent job.
It does. Yeah, it's one of those things you have to play with a little bit.
And always double check before you press send.
Right. And I'm really good about adding punctuation to everything I say, because otherwise I discovered I had one long run-on sentence. Yeah. And that, so, but obviously this is a huge selling point, because otherwise so many companies wouldn't be featuring that in their commercials, because it's everywhere. I mean, all of them are talking about what you can do and showing examples of that us. So it's a cool technology.
And if this is a device that's always with you, the other day I was just thinking, it's like, I've got to do a math problem. So I just come out here. Let me unlock my screen again and let's go back and... What's 312 divided by 16?
The answer is 19.5.
That's cool.
So it's a calculator. Like, let's do this calculation real quick, and it's always available for you. And
so when we're too lazy to even punch the buttons, we just say it. Or when our hands are full in the store and we need to know.
Right. Kids today don't know how lucky they have it. In the day.
That's right.
Had to do all the long division and everything else.
I have an abacus at my house. And my niece came over and is like, what is that? And I have no clue how it used to work. I used to know, but not anymore.
Yeah. So that's my tech pick, version 4.2 of Android. They're constantly improving this. And, you know, we're mentioning, you know, $1,000 MacBook Air or whatever it is, buy five of these Nexus 7 devices. Oh, the other thing that I was going to mention earlier and I forgot was Google also announced that they're selling Chromebooks for $250 now.
Really?
So a Chromebook is essentially a laptop that doesn't really have a hard drive or anything. It's just meant to connect to the internet. It does have a small hard drive in it, but it's meant to use on the cloud all of the time.
Right.
So for $250, you can get a laptop with a keyboard, another $199, a Nexus 7. And then if you have a Droid phone or whatever, and you can be completely Android, and that's kind of the Android family out there for well less than $1,000.
There you go. And so, and that's something we talked about a couple weeks ago about brand, whether it's brand loyalty or it's comfort with a specific style of, interface and that. And so, boy, when you've got similar programs, it's nice because you don't have to think about it. You just do.
Right. And I know there's a number of schools out there that are Google Apps School, and that, you know, that's the perfect choice for that ecosystem. Of course, you lose some things from the other vendors, and hopefully we'll agree to some common standards that we're able to interoperate between at least the three major players out there.
Right.
Okay, so what do you have for your tech pick this week?
Well, something that is new to me, and I enjoy the tech picks that are things that amuse me, either amuse me or just make my life easier, as opposed to the high tech, intricacies of technology and that. And so something I found that really caught my eye, and I just got a big kick out of it, is a program, or it's a browser tool. It's called Symbaloo. And what it does is you set up, I'm a big fan of iGoogle. I have my iGoogle homepage set up, and it has my links and my widgets and everything right there that I like to use.
Right.
And they've been warning us that iGoogle is going to go away, which, put me in panic mode because, oh my gosh, am I going to have to look up or remember those URLs? I can't remember anybody's phone number anymore because they're all in my cell phone. How am I going to do that? And this is it sets it up. It's very, reminds me of Windows 8, how it looks on that
live tiles look.
Right. Or the apps or anything. But you can just set up all of the things that you use frequently right there on that homepage. And so what I did, I set it up on my desktop, but then I also put it on the iPad. And you log in from wherever you are, and the same ones come up.
So it's a cloud-based service.
Right. But what I liked about it, in addition to just the ease of my frequently used, you have these different web mixes that other people have created. And one of those was, I'm going to go to a Tech for Teacher, and I know you can't see this.
I see part of it.
But
our audience can't see it. We'll describe
that's
it.
That's right. And but they can go and find this.
Right. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Because they're called web mixes, and they're already predetermined, sort of like little cafeteria trays with, you know, different ingredients on there.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Pinterest, too.
A little bit. Yeah, you're right. You have all these little icon tiles for sites and tools that you use often. And so this one was Tech Tools for Teachers. And it has a whole, you know, array of different tech tools, but you can also change the colors of the tiles to group them.
That's I see yours. That one's kind of color coded, so I see like an orange group and a green group.
And so, and I color code everything. It's just the way my brain thinks. So I really like that component. But, you know, it's just you set these different tabs, so it's almost like having a different homepage for different things.
And that's public,
that you
so
do.
If we post that out there, anybody could go see this one.
Yep. And but they have, you know, these different topics, and whether it's news or sports or anything like that, what your personal interests are, you know, they've already put it together, and then you can add to it. This one of them was for teachers, and it had, you know, sciences, math, history, you know, different subject areas, but it was also great because then students, you have all the sites right there. So it's almost like book. It is bookmarks.
It is in a graphical format. It kind of reminds me of like a periodic table.
It does.
In chemistry, just kind of just sitting there looking at it, but you can kind of customize it, you know, for, and like I said, we'll provide a link out in the show notes, but yeah, that's neat. And you can do the different groups. And then, you know, what'd be really, that would be also useful for is those of us that have smart boards and things, that would be just a real handy thing to have up there and like link to a different lesson and have a, you know, one of the students come up and kind of make it like a little Jeopardy type game. Sure. It's like, click on this. You probably make a Jeopardy game out of that pretty easy.
You could. And one of the things I like, because I'm such a visual person, I can pull down a list of bookmarks and I have to read through all of them. This, I recognize, you know, I put the Tech Talk
symbols.
For Teachers icon on the tile that it links to that. And so I immediately see it, recognize it, the Library of Congress logo. So I can hit those buttons and boom, go right to it. So again, it, I think we'll lose the familiarity of the URLs, that those aren't going to be as important. And as a teacher, we know that we try to tell our students, look at the URL to understand who's created a site and whether that's a site that you want to use. Is it reliable? And so, but if sometimes we want to give them a nice, neat list of resources to use, and this is just, I think, a great way to do that, that you could just make it super simple and, again, personalize it to what you need.
And it's something that, you know, you'll be constantly changing month to month. You know, things are going to change from time to time. And a fun class activity would be to, you know, have each one of your students, you know, for an assignment, okay, come up, what website would you like to put in the Symbaloo board or whatever?
Or even, like, you know, I'm thinking with the technology courses, have them create one at the beginning of the semester, do a screen capture, and then at the end of the semester, have them do another and see how they're technology world has expanded.
Okay, very good. That wraps it up for episode 141 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom
and Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.